Hello!
Hello! And welcome to the D&D podcast, Demented Dungeons and Dragons.com.
Yeah!
Where we talk about everything but Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, most of the time. What about our legal notice? Have we worked that out yet? Our opinions are our own. We are not encouraging you to overthrow any governments, medical establishments, McDonald's franchises, or whatever.
Just like our Lord gave us free will, we give you free will.
There you go. Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, it's not ours to give, but you got it. It's up to you what you do.
We are not animals.
Yes. Yes. This podcast is not made for animals. It's made for men, made in God's image with certain inalienable rights granted by their creator.
Right.
So if you're an animal, turn off the radio.
Animal.
Something like that.
Yes. And not only that, but we practice God's medicine, not man's medicine.
Yes. Now, that and a four-leaf clover should protect us now from Uncle Sam, right?
Perhaps. According to the New World Order rules, regulations, standards, codes, and guidelines, we're not allowed to cure, diagnose, or treat anything.
Right.
Anything that we say can and will be for entertainment purposes only.
Yeah, entertainment and educational purposes.
There you go, educational. That's the word I was actually looking for. Because it's not really for entertainment. It's more for educational purposes.
Well, I don't know. Listening to us stumble all over ourselves is probably pretty entertaining.
Sometimes. yeah, you either laugh with us or laugh at us. So pretty much, yeah.
All righty.
There was another thing. Hang on. I forgot. Okay. Dead air.
Yeah, sorry for the 2 minute late call. I was busy watching a video on making molds with fiberglass.
What? Making love with fiberglass?
Molds.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Man's a peaches. Peaches for me.
It was actually very encouraging watching it because it doesn't look like it's all that hard to make the molds.
Cool.
And all I have to do is make a form and make a mold based on the form. And I should be good. So I can start making my cement blocks.
Right. Ooh, I got an idea.
Yeah?
Okay. Buy some of those styrofoam blocks.
Yeah.
You can use those to make molds.
Okay.
And then you can make foamcrete blocks that look like styrofoam blocks. And then, because styrofoam blocks are made here in the U.S., I mean, in the United Soviet States of America. And
I only buy things made in America. I don't buy anything made in the U.S.
Well, whichever. So, our foam crete blocks will match up with the styrofoam blocks, so if someone wants to mix and match, they could.
I'll have to look at it, but there might be a patent infringement involved in that.
Oh, yeah, right. That's true. I was thinking about that as I was saying it, but I went ahead and kept saying it anyway.
I hear you, but we should look into it.
Right. We may be able to get written permission to...
Well, if you use it for your own purposes, might be perfectly okay.
So, chances are they're not going to want us to be their competition, therefore they're not going to give us permission, therefore we need to make our own.
Right, and thus, for my cement blocks, you know, I've seen plenty of videos on what people have done. I've come up with my own designs. And, frankly, I think mine are unique enough. They've got some features where, my designs, I can flip the block over and it'll still snap in. Upside down, right side up, whatever, they'll snap together. I haven't seen any other block that can do that. I'm surprised. It wouldn't be hard to achieve it, but, you know, apparently nobody else has bothered to make it reversible. And the advantage I see to that is if you're doing an angled wall, you know, an end of a wall that's angled, if you're going a nice straight angle, all those pieces you cut off, if you flip them over, they'll actually sit someplace else in the wall.
Okay.
And they're already cut.
Already cut.
You know, so it's just a matter of a little bit of planning and whatever. Because you can cut foam crete with a handsaw. So there's a lot of creative things you can do with it.
So you can cut foam crete just like you cut styrofoam.
Yeah, pretty much. Probably easier, actually, because styrofoam tends to rip. You end up with all those little white beads all over the place.
Yeah, go everywhere.
They're everywhere. Oh, Jitters is back.
The new guy.
Jitters is back. Yeah, Jitters was hanging out with the other cats, and I was walking with the goats, and I guess he's not scared of goats. At the very least, they distracted him, so I ended up pretty close to him before I noticed him, and then he noticed me. It was kind of funny.
For those who don't know what we're talking about, we believe that Jitters is our GMO neighbor's cat.
Well, you do. I don't know whose cat it is, but...
Right.
The theory being it might be Monsanto-ized and therefore kind of off its rocker.
It's got to be living somewhere close because it hasn't been eaten by the wild yet.
True enough. Yeah, and it's probably, yeah. I might ask the neighbor at some point, do you have a big cat with a, you know, white blaze on its chest? You know? It is a pretty good-sized cat. But, I put out a little food just for it. I walked out as close as I could to it without it taking off and poured a little pile of food nearby. And I figured the way it explores, it would probably find it. So
what?
Anyway. Yeah, I still think the cat's kind of funny. And, yeah, I call it Jitters because, you know, it kind of shakes a lot. You know, it's like... Like that, too much caffeine.
No such thing.
No such thing as too much caffeine?
Right.
Okay, let me boil myself up another pot.
GMO, GMO, GMO's the way to go.
Yeah, if you're heading to hell.
Yeah, if you want to be sick. If you want to subscribe to Sick Care, then GMO is the way to go.
There you go. Yes, all you Obamacare supporters and probably Trump care supporters here sometime in the future.
I'm sorry, what? Oh, Trump care, yeah.
Yeah, there's bound to be a Trump care. And it won't be any different than Obamacare, except, you know, I have the Trump brand name on it, you know. Just like, you know, Obamacare used to be Hillary Care, and before that, Bush Care, and I don't know.
Romney Care! Oh, Romney Care! Oh, Romney Care!
Yeah, somewhere in there. I don't know. I started watching that kind of stuff and saying, you know, that's kind of weird. Remember when Perot ran against, I forget who he was running against, there was two candidates. And they blamed him, I guess, for the Democrat getting in.
I have no idea.
Anyway, right after that, they caught him and people from both parties in high places putting together this health care program where, I guess it was the Clintons, where the Clintons and him and, you know, their other party were all going to be making high profits off of your sickness.
Oh, yeah.
And it kind of put the finger on it, pointing out that, you know, it really didn't matter who you voted in. They were going to screw you over one way or another.
Yep.
Because they, you know, they were going to work it out no matter who got in.
Well, yeah. That's why we got to get our guy or girl in the primaries. Because, you know, they're basically the two people that end up at the end of the race are usually criminal number A, criminal number B.
Yeah, that's going to be though. Somebody, I forget when it was. I was still out in California when this guy ran. And I forget which state he was from. But he was the first one to qualify for the Republican ticket. He had all the votes. He had all the signatures. He had all the funding. He qualified.
He did or did not?
He qualified. And, you know, he made a run for it. I forget his name, though. You could ask our mechanic friend. He knows who he is. He wears his shirt every once in a while. But he was the first one to qualify.
Russ Perot.
And he was way ahead of all the others. They completely ignored him. He might as well have not existed.
Well, yeah, that's what they did with Ron Paul, and that's what they do with everybody else that they don't want. The media just basically acts as if they aren't even there.
Well, Ron Paul, they tried to make a fool of, and it didn't work. So So they ignored him instead.
Yeah. Yeah, Ron Paul is a little bit harder to ignore. So that's, yeah, that's why they tried to make a fool of him.
Yeah. They let him do, I think, one or two debates. And it's not like Ron Paul was making any vicious attacks against anybody, but
sure he was.
Just looked stupid in their efforts to make vicious attacks on him.
Yeah.
So they just stopped doing it.
Well, yeah. Well, he was making a vicious attack on government.
And they, I forget exactly what they did, but some caucus, you know, he showed up and they just voted that the caucus was over and left and went and held it someplace else. And that just left the Ron Paul supporters there. Basically, they abandoned the caucus, but they, you know, they pretended they hadn't.
Right.
So, by that event, he should have been the candidate because they abandoned it and left it to his supporters to vote him in. But they just ignored it completely.
Right.
I don't know all the details. I stay away from it. But yeah, that's
for the most part.
But Perot and I think it was the Clintons and somebody else, they were my first introduction that something was really fishy with the healthcare system in the first place. Like, why are these three people from divergent groups getting together to shove something down our throat that we don't really want?
Or need.
Well, needs beside the point, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we pretty much already had what they were claiming they were trying to promote.
Yeah.
Because basically, if you couldn't afford medical, the hospital would basically give you a self-insured rate, which is pretty much the same rate that you get if you have insurance, but you don't have to pay for the insurance.
Right.
Okay. Then, if you couldn't pay for that, they'd write it off on their taxes. And so basically, we, the people, would pay it in our taxes. Well, that's basically what we have now, except now everybody's forced to get insurance, and if they don't, then they get penalized at the end of the year. They have to pay more taxes. So really, it's just a money racket.
Yep.
Because we were already paying for it before.
Which we shouldn't have been in the first place.
Perhaps. But I mean,
doctors used to make house visits. For those of you who are just born yesterday, this may shock you, but doctors used to come by your house for a very reasonable fee and check on you when you were sick.
Right, just like in the old movies.
Yeah, they'd have their little black bag and they'd break out their stethoscope and like, oh, you got pneumonia. Well, let me see. All right. Take a little bit of this and a little bit of that and drink lots of fluids and don't work hard.
Yeah. Right. They may go out in your yard and pick some stuff for you to eat.
Well, that depends on how knowledgeable the doctor was. But
yeah.
But now that they got the health insurance policies, it's so much easier for them to make a whole lot more money. So that same house call would have an astronomical price associated with it. You would have to pay $2,000-$3,000 for it today if they were to do that. And that's if you only showed up for 5 minutes.
That's just if you showed up.
Well, it's like this. How much does it cost to have paramedics come by your house?
About $500 even.
All right. So those are non-doctors doing that.
Right.
Okay. So if an actual doctor showed up, expect the price to be about 10 times that.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have time for that because he makes that much money by seeing a dozen people in about 10 minutes each. And that, by the way, is all the insurance company will allow him to spend on you. If you hold up in any way, shape, or form, he's not making money.
Right. And he, yeah, he's got to make all that money to cover the liability insurance and cover his schooling, which is an outrageous also, because doctors really don't make that much money at the end of the day. Most of the money goes to the hospital and the insurance companies.
Well, not to mention the fact that they don't know how to invest their money either once they've made it. They spend all that time learning how to give you medicine, how to drug you.
Yeah, but I mean, if a doctor really cared about his patient, his or her patients, and they were actually making the kind of money that we think they make, they would actually sit down and take the time to actually help their patient. But they ain't got that kind of time because they're just running people in and out like cattle because they need to in order to pay the bills. They're just over broke just like the rest of us.
Well, yeah. That and they drove any caring out of them when they were going through, I don't know what they call it, internship.
Brainwashing school.
And when they were doing their internships and they had them working, you know, 48 hours at a time. If they cared about humanity when they got in, it's like, oh, fuck you all. I am so tired. Excuse my language, but...
Excuse your language! Quit your fucking cussing. Yeah. Yeah. Bam, bam, bam. Bam, bam, bam.
You know, and if you don't go through an internship where they treat you that way, they won't give you your license.
Right.
So it's no wonder that you get doctors who don't really care about their people.
Well, yeah, the doctors who care are just like the cops who care. It makes it harder for them to get from point A to point B because the system is corrupt.
You bet you, by golly.
It's our theme song.
Royalties, you know.
You know, it's hard to play a song when you're going to talk over it.
Yeah. I was just saying they're going to charge royalties for this if we keep playing
this. Whatever. We don't make no money. How can they charge royalty?
We'll see.
Besides, we're promoting them. It's called advertising.
Yep. I generally agree with you.
And they don't charge radio stations for royalties.
I'm not sure about that.
I think most people want radio stations to play their music because if they don't play their music, then people aren't listening to them, therefore they're not buying their CD.
Well, yeah, the artists want that, but the record companies, well, there's this guy, he put out movies and stuff like that, have this problem with the producers. They go to all this trouble to produce this artistic piece, and then they get next to no money for it. And, you know, all they want to do is put their music out, and they can't do it because they went and hired this, you know, producer.
Yeah. That's why YouTube and MySpace music is so awesome, because people can now bypass those people. We got too many middlemen getting their fingers in the pot. You know, it's like, that's the same thing with trucking.
Yeah, look up this movie called Steal This Film. He decided not to use a producer. And he basically put his movie out for free. It's called Steal This Film. You're right. The artist would actually appreciate it if you stole their music, for the most part.
That's stealing. It's advertising. If I stole it, I would have pirated it.
Yeah, well, that's my point. A lot of the artists would actually appreciate it if you pirate their music, because they actually sell more music that way.
Well, Eminem did.
But the
My name is That's your favorite artist, right? No. Die Antwoord, that's your favorite.
Who?
You know you're a Die Antwoord fan.
I have no idea who that is.
You don't want to know. They make Eminem look like Lady Gaga.
Eminem.
You know Slim Shady, Eminem? Your favorite artist?
I don't know either one of those artists.
Whatever. Liar.
I remember that conversation with you. Like, I don't like Slim Shady. What's that other one's name? Oh, yeah. Now I can't say his name. I can't stand Eminem. He sounds too much like that Slim Shady guy. I can't stand him either. You're, like, staring at me like, are you for real?
Oh, yeah, I remember that now. That was, like, 2-3 years ago.
Didn't know, didn't care.
Yeah, he's got another name too. I forgot what it was.
Yeah, probably the one his mama gave him. No, that was probably Emina. Enema.
No. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I think the other name is his given name, but I can't remember what it is now.
Probably why he sings all those hateful songs about his mom. Probably said, you little shit. You had an M flush you down the toilet.
Something. But like I was trying to say a minute ago before somebody rudely interrupted.
What?
What? He's talking about middlemen, you know, trucking. The trucking companies used to broker their own freight. And therefore, drivers made decent money. The trucking companies made decent money. And then all these brokers started getting in the middle and brokering the freight and cutting, you know, basically becoming the middleman. And now hardly any trucking company brokers their own freight anymore. And everybody's struggling.
Yeah, so they're the middlemen of the middlemen of the middlemen.
Yeah, basically. Because technically the trucking company is the middleman, because the owner-operator and independent contractor, well, the trucking company is just a big owner-operator or independent contractor. And the broker basically was just supposed to be there, somebody who was there to help the independent contractors compete with the trucking companies. But they just basically took over. And lumpers, even lumpers became a problem. The people that unload the trucks.
Yeah.
Used to be the person that worked the docks, that worked for the company that you were delivering to, would unload the truck, or the driver would, or a combination thereof. Then they started hiring lumpers, outside helpers to come in and unload the trailer. And
well, the theory of making it faster, right?
Something. And just anybody could actually come in off the street and lump a load, you know? Like if you needed work that day, you go stand in line at the gate and somebody would be like, I need a lumper. And the first one in line would basically get the job. A lot of times they'd call in over the radio. You'd sit down there in your car sometimes, you know, depending on the location. I used to sit down at Associated Grocers in my car on the CB and wait for them to call out on the CB.
You were a lumper?
I was a lumper. That was back before I started driving truck.
So basically you were a truck driving scab.
Well, no. But anyway, then they started unionizing the lumper system and all that stuff. And now drivers cannot see. The lumpers came in handy when the driver didn't want to unload. So the driver would pay the lumper to unload for him or her. So it was more of a perk, a bonus or whatever. It was just like a helping hand. Like David Ray's friendly helping service.
Right. Yeah, I'll never unionize that.
Then it started getting organized. Corporations started taking over the lumper system and forcing drivers to pay them to unload. It's like you had to pay them. That's the way it is now. You have to pay them. You don't have a choice. You have to pay them their set amount. You don't have a choice. It's either that or leave. If you leave, then you get in trouble for not delivering the load.
Right.
That's why trucking doesn't pay anymore. It basically started going downhill right before I got into business 20 years ago. It's all my fault.
You did it.
Yep. Millions of pizzas. Pitches for me. And now, we're by Green Acres. Two Kitty Slickin' Farm Boy wannabes.
I don't think you're speaking English anymore.
No, I'm English. No, I think it's your blink, 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 blink. Moving to the country in the rain. Peaches come in a can. They were put down by a man. In a factory downtown. All right. I'm going to talk about Cuda-coons.
Cuda-coons, not Cuda-coons.
I call them Cuda-coons because somebody called them Cuda-coons. It's I've been calling them Cuda-coons since. Yeah, they're Cuda-coons. K-U-N-E, K-U-N-E.
Cuda-coons.
Cuda-coons.
Cuda-coonies.
Cooney, Cooney. Cooney, Cooney, Cooney. Cooney, Cooney. All right, here's a couple of audios. By a couple, I mean three. That we were going to play on the podcast like last month or last year or something. I've been saving them, so here we go.
Okay.
Kunikun takes frequently asked questions. This is a simple list of some questions I get from people who do not currently have pigs. It is not a complete guide on how to keep Kunikuns. I want to get a Kunikun. Where do I start? How big are Kunikuns? Do you breed micro pigs, teacup pigs, or miniature pigs? Where can I keep a Kun? What do Kuns eat? Do Kuns dig? Is it best to have males or females? Can they be kept alone or in groups? Can pigs be kept in a house? Are they safe with children? Can coons live with other animals? How much do they cost? Do you sell whole boars or breeding pairs? Can you ship them overseas? I want to get a Kunikun. Where do I start? The first thing you should do is go and see some Kunikuns and make sure that you are being realistic about what owning pigs will be like. Spend as much time with them as you can. We frequently have people stay over in our B&B or caravan so that they can meet our pigs and spend some time around them. Next, buy one or both of these books. They contain everything you need to know to get started and own your first coons. Essential reading for a first-time Kunikun owner. Small-scale outdoor pig breeding starting with pigs book. You will also need to get a holding number. Ring the Rural Payments Agency, RPA, Customer Service Center on 0845603-7777. How big are Kunikuns? Kunikuns are the smallest domesticated breed of pig in the world. That said, they are still a sizable animal, as all pigs have the potential to be. Their natural shape is rounder and fatter than a dog. The piglets can be very small as a teacup, and they can stand in the palm of your hand. At this point you might call it a mini tour pig. However, they will grow much bigger. You should be comfortable with the size of the adult pig it will become after 2-3 years of growth, and not just look at the piglet. Do you breed micro pigs, teacup pigs, or miniature pigs? There are no such breeds of pig called micro, teacup, or miniature. All of our Kunikuns are pedigree, from various bloodlines. Many people have never seen breeds of commercial meat pigs close up and are unaware how big they really are. So using phrases like micro, teacup, or miniature to indicate pigs are smaller than modern commercial pigs can be misleading and can give people a false expectation of what these animals will become when fully grown. Before considering owning any pig, always look at the parents and other stock that a breeder has and remember that a sow can have a litter before she is fully grown herself. Some further reading. Advertising Standards Authority Adjudication on Little Pig Farm LTD. The BKKPS Statement on Mini or Micro Pigs. Where can I keep coons? A field or paddock is ideal. Many people keep them in a large fenced-off area in a field. A normal residential garden is not suitable, it will not be big enough and the pigs would destroy flower beds. As long as the pigs have access to a straw-filled shelter that is dry and out of draft, they can be kept outside all year. The more space the better. We let ours graze the fields in summer, and confine them to smaller areas in winter when trotters would damage the wet pasture. A few people keep pigs in the house. This is not something I would recommend, as pigs of any size are more suited to the outdoors. You need to think very carefully if you have a suitable environment before making the commitment of owning a pig. What do coons eat? The Kunikun is the only true grazing pig. An adult can maintain condition on grass throughout the spring/summer months without the need for extra feed. An acre of grass can sustain at least 5 coons. If you do not have enough grass, they can still happily be kept in a smaller area and be fed low-protein pig pellets, hay, and any spare fruit and vegetables to make up the difference. Perhaps the majority of coon owners feed their pigs this way. If coons are fed purely on pig pellets, the approximate quantities per day are piglets 8 weeks, 4 months, 0.5 kilograms. Piglets 4 to 9 months, 0.75 kilograms. Adults 1 to 1.5 kilograms. The more grass, vegetables, hay, or other feed is given, the less pellets are needed. A 0.5 kilograms bag of pig pellets will cost around 7. What coons dig?
Some coons do.
Some don't. Certainly coons dig less than other breeds of pig. Whether a coon will dig or not depends on a lot of factors, many of which are not fully understood. Opinions vary, and here are some of the most popular theories. If a coon cannot get enough food, it will dig as it gets hungry. This can happen towards the end of summer as the nutrition content of grass starts to diminish, if other feed is not provided. The nature of the pig. Sometimes one sibling will dig while the other will not. Some people also report that a coon will grow out of the behavior as it gets older. The land can also play a part. Well-drained flat pasture will be less likely to be dug than bumpy wet ground that is easier to get a snout under. We graze out coons in the fields in summer and restrict this grazing in the winter months. If any pig starts to dig, it is either moved to a different area or restricted to a smaller enclosure. Is it best to have males or females? We sell all our male piglets after they have been castrated at 2 to 3 weeks of age. This means that they grow up to be the same size and nature as if they were female. Many people choose either two castrated males, or a castrated male and a female. Females and castrated males can be mixed in any combination without it making any difference. You should never buy a whole boar unless you are going to start breeding on a larger scale. They can be a bit territorial, stronger, and require a more experienced pig owner. Can they be kept alone or in groups? It is always best to keep coons together. They are very sociable creatures and will get lonely and suffer if kept isolated. Two or more is a good number. I do not recommend keeping a single coon alone. Can pigs be kept in a house? No. Pigs of any breed or crossbred are not suitable to be kept as a house pet. You will find people who will sell you pigs they say are suitable as house pets, but this does not make it true. Do your own research. Are they safe with children? Coons are very trustworthy and enjoy attention and human contact. In common with dogs and all animals, it is sensible to supervise children. Our children are not left alone with our pigs or the cat. Can coons live with other animals? Definitely. We graze ours with sheep, and I have seen them in paddocks with horses, running outside with a family dog, and some of our pigs are in the stables of a professional racehorse trainer. Most animals will be a little unsure at first, but will soon get used to coons. The time they might need separating is while other animals are being fed. How much do they cost? Castrated males are $100. Entire boars and females $150. How do I buy one? We normally operate a waiting list for anyone seriously interested in buying piglets. When a litter is born, we contact people in turn to allow them to choose a piglet, either in person or via photos. If you then decide to buy, 50% of the cost is payable after you have chosen. The rest is payable as you collect your pigs. In the unlikely event that something unfortunate happens to a piglet you have bought whilst it is still at Dale House, we will give a full refund. We do not reserve or take deposits for piglets. You either buy or not, and we ask people to consider what it means to own a pig before making the decision. All of our piglets are sold with pedigree registration papers, castrated, and injected with Dectamax before leaving. Do you sell whole boars or breeding pairs? If you want a whole boar, contact us early with your requirements and we will save a suitable piglet from castration as he is born. However, whole boars are certainly not pets and we only sell them to people who already have experience with pigs. If you think you want to breed in the future, get a young female and a castrated male for company and get some experience with pigs before thinking about a boar. Most coon owners who breed from one or two sows never actually own a boar and use a stud service. Can you ship them overseas? No, but but we are happy to assist with the requirements for export. Other than mainland Britain, our pigs have gone to the Isle of Man, Channel Islands, Northern Ireland, Eire, and the USA. If you cannot drive to collect the pigs yourself, the best way to do this is using special agent who handles the paperwork and travel arrangements. You will need to contact someone in your country to get a quote.
Yeah, so they're in another country, but they got some useful information.
Yeah.
Now I forgot her name. Hang on, let me look.
Yiska?
Yiska. Did she tell you, talk to you about who not to buy a Kunikun from?
Yeah, I didn't really want to discuss that on the program, but I do want to talk to you about it.
Okay, so that person was on our list, correct?
I don't know, but she thinks, but from the description, she thinks it is the person.
Okay, well, there is two people in that area, so.
Oh, two Kunikun people in the area?
There was two Kunikun.
Two of the same farm in the area.
It could be, but we'll have to do our homework.
Well, the farm had the same name on both listings.
Oh, okay. So we'll have to go a little bit further.
About 3 hours. But there's about three or four of those.
Yeah, north of what? Columbia, Missouri?
Oh, that'd be fun.
Or was it St. Louis?
That'd be fun, too. I think that was a five-hour one.
Well, whatever. All right, so we'll just go further out.
Well, yeah, we were planning on that for the boar anyway, because, you know, further away, the less likely they'll be related.
Right, so, yeah. Well, maybe they might know somebody that we can go to for our Kunikun.
Yep, yep.
You know, the Native American Yiska.
Yeah, I'm not sure of about her name. That's just what you sent me.
Yeah, well, hang on. That's what she signed her name as. Y-I-S-K-A-H.
Okay. It's not what you sent me, but close.
Well, that was my interpretation of the voicemail. So, but yeah, she sent me an email, which I forwarded did to you.
Okay.
To your none of your business email.
I'll have to look it up.
None of your beeswax.
You mean Mr. Noib Noib?
Yeah. So she sent me the link to it's basically their own. They set up their own CES network.
Right.
so, you know, basically they're using a software to generate a CES networking table in our area. So it's exclusive. It's not 9 times out of 10, we're not going to be networking with people overseas. It's going to be, you know, our area.
Right.
So we still will need to rely on the CES website. You know, for outside the box.
Right. Talking about in the box, did you do anything with Dropbox?
No, but I got 100 emails from you about it.
I'm sorry about that. I wasn't sure if it was going through.
Whatever.
You're probably on the notification list, so every time I added a file, you probably got something.
I didn't get 100. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's
good.
Just kidding. I only got 6.
Oh, my. Yeah, I'm working out subject folders.
The Dungeons and Dragons folder.
Say what?
Demented Dungeons and Dragons folder.
Yeah.
There's nothing there.
What do you mean there's nothing there?
Oh, it's still loading. Loading, loading, loading the stinking page. It's taking forever, and I'm going to rage.
Why?
I'm just kidding. There it is. I'm trying to rhyme, that's all. Don't matter what your name is. Okay, there's a folder, but I can't go inside the folder.
Why not?
I don't know.
You mean I have to share the folder inside folders I've already shared with you?
I don't know.
It would seem to me that if I shared the master folder with you, you should be able to do anything inside there.
Well, I see the Demented Dungeons and Dragons folder. That's it. And then the options are new shared folder, which I guess that's to create a new shared folder. Then there's an add. Oh, okay. I had to add it to my Dropbox.
Oh, now yeah. You need to add it to your Dropbox before you can start working with them, I think.
Okay. What the heck? Quit. Ding, darn, ding.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
It's not you. He's trying to get me to install Dropbox onto my computer, and I don't want it to.
Oh.
Okay. Politics and law. Yeah, because I don't trust Dropbox. Dropbox will automatically start backing up your stuff if you have it on your PC or your phone.
Ah. Yeah, I don't have enough room for it to back up on my phone, so it wouldn't get very far at that.
No, it backs it up on the cloud.
Oh, it starts backing up your phone on the cloud?
Or your PC.
Only the files I want it to.
That's what you think. I don't know exactly what all it does, but I know, I have firsthand knowledge that it has automatically backed up stuff that I did not tell it to.
Interesting.
So, yeah. So I don't trust it. That's basically what it boils down to.
Okay.
Jack McClam, is that just a test file, or is this something you really wanted to share?
What was that?
Jack McClam.
What was that?
McDonald had
Okay, I see it. Yeah, I was looking him up. That's just... He did a lot of stuff on court procedures and stuff like that, if I remember right. And he died a few years back.
Did he have a heart attack?
I'm not sure. It wasn't sudden. It was, you know, he got sick and then he died. Anyway, I was trying to see how to find any of his old podcasts.
Because
you're dead doesn't mean your ideas aren't still valid.
Or gone, for that matter.
Yeah.
Because our podcasts, if people download them, our podcast could live on forever.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah! My name is the Mr. Dungeons and Dragons! My name is...
Okay. Weirdo.
I know you have one of my eye.
That's, you know, time to conduct an experiment.
There was something else I wanted to talk about regarding the coons. Yeah, they do not make house pets. Just like goats do not make very good house pets. They'll poop all over the place.
Oh, God. The lady I got my first ones from, they let the goats wander through their house.
Yeah, that's crazy. The way I see them act, I would not let them in my house.
And she didn't want me to tell her if I was going to eat them.
Right. Well, officially, how many of them have you eaten?
Probably about half of one.
Half of one?
Yeah, I butchered two, and before I got kicked off the farm, I probably went through half the meat of the one. All the while, being pushed to butcher the whole herd, that I was told by the person who was pushing me that he'd get them sold. But he couldn't sell what I already butchered.
Right.
So, basically, I would have had a whole bunch of freezers full of rotting goat meat for no good reason.
So how many goats did you have?
I had about 40 at the time I got kicked off the farm.
And and how many did we bring down? Just three females and one male, correct? No, two males.
Yeah, that's about right. I tried to go back and retrieve two more females, but by then they'd already sent them off to the glue factory, basically.
Oh, no, wait, we brought down four females, because I remember one died at Valor.
Well, some were born over on P&L.
Oh, that's right.
And then dogs killed several of my goats.
And geese.
That was at P&S.
Right. Dietrich's dogs killed your geese.
Well, we don't know that, but we suspect.
Well, yeah. Even though I love Tundra, she kills any foreign object that is not a dog. And actually, she tried to kill that dog just wandered onto the property.
Yeah.
Now, because it was a poor, helpless little innocent dog. I mean, it was as sweet as could be. I mean, it was very non-aggressive, and it was very scared of Tundra, and Tundra was just all over it, wanted to eat that dog.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yep. So, before I moved on to our new property, you had four adult females, one adult male, two younger females and one younger male.
Yeah, something like that.
And now we have, what, 5 or 6 babies?
We have 6 babies.
Yay!
Yeah, I think that would be a good place to drop them.
And we have 15 cats. Not counting Jitters, because we don't think he's ours.
No. How long that takes?
What?
I'm dropping something in the drop box. Under Demented Dungeons and Dragons.
I'm eating fried asparagus.
Okay, you might want to play this one as soon as it gets in. Ron Finley, Gardening Is.
Can we play it on a podcast?
Well, I'm waiting for that last little bit. There we go, it's in. All right, they're both in.
All right, two more Coon-Coons, and then we'll do Finley. Oh, we'll do Ron Paul and then Finley.
I want to hear Finley now.
Raising Coon-Coons published in American Livestock Magazine.
Get
Benefits
back.
Of Raising Coon-Coon Pigs by Kathy Peterson, president of the American Coon-Coon Pig Society. If you have been following the last few articles, you are getting more familiar with the breed of Coon-Coon pigs. For this article, I would like to discuss the many benefits of raising Coon-Coon pigs on your farm. Then you will hear from some Coon-Coon breeders across the country and what they say about raising Coon-Coon pigs on their farms and the many uses they have for this delightful breed. They are easy, docile, and friendly animals, making them easy to handle. They are a cost-effective breed to raise due to their ability to primarily graze. They do not destroy your pastures and root like other pigs. They do not destroy fencing. Farming livestock offers tax advantages. If you are farming for pork production, you are able to know where your food is coming from and how they are raised. Raising livestock is a great learning experience for children. Enjoyment of making a difference in preserving a heritage breed. They save you time on cutting the grass. They provide manure that is beneficial to gardeners. They clean up gardens for you. They clean up orchards for you. From the state of Oregon, although Coon-Coons are known for their excellent quality pork, I do not harvest my pigs nor have I sold them for butcher. Instead, I have focused on the Coon-Coon breed for their wonderful qualities as companion animals. Due to the way the breed developed in the villages of the Maori, they are extremely human-identified. They are easy to manage, and given adequate space, have a low impact on their environment. Their calm and affectionate nature makes them wonderful, intelligent pets. They bring a unique joy to the farm and all who meet them fall in love. I can't imagine the place without them. Brad Branham, XTC Coon-Coons. From the state of Virginia, here, on our farm, coons serve many purposes. But, one of their most important purposes is their role in our land management program. For us, and many that are familiar with this wonderful breed, it is an easy, inexpensive program that can be utilized year-round. One very important piece of the program is fertilizing. We simply clean up the manure twice a week and compost it. The frequency of cleanup will depend on the size of your pasture and herd. The more you have, the more often you will want to compost. When we are ready to start our garden or regrow our pasture, we spread it as needed. Another wonderful quality is that coons keep pests away, especially snakes. So, whether you have an infestation in the country or just enough to worry you in the city, no job is too big or too small for coons. The third main component in our land management program is land clearing. If you have a wooded area that needs to be cleaned out, let them loose. They are great at clearing out underbrush. Most importantly, at the end of a harvest, let them out into your garden or crop. They will eat on whatever you have. This will save you labor and expenses, all while feeding your beloved coons a delicious, organic meal. Brandon and Brandy Thorpe, Swaying Pines Farm. From the state of Mississippi, my coons are beneficial to my farm in many ways. Not only are they efficient grazing animals, but they also serve as my own personal therapist. I work in a retail setting 40 hours per week, so I am somewhat stressed by the end of my workday. After a long day at work, I can come home and sit in the barnyard with the pigs, and they immediately put a smile on my face. My spirits are lifted by their amazing personalities, and I refueled for another day. My coons truly offer me an extraordinary amount of stress relief. I cannot imagine my life without these awesome little pigs. Christopher Rowley, Goose Meadow Coons. From the state of California, coons for sustainable pork production. In a time when an increasing number of consumers are looking for responsible and sustainable options to supply meat for their families, coons stand out as an excellent option for pasture and small acreage pork production. The coon's placid nature, tendency to graze, reasonable litter size, and ability to marble on low-quality forage make it an attractive breed for hobby farm, mowing orchards, and vineyards, as well as inclusion within community-supported agriculture, CSA, systems. Farmers in regions where pasture is not lush throughout the year will find coons easily supplemented on surplus foodstuffs, such as nut mass, spent brewer's grain, cider mash, and bruised/unmarketable vegetables, and produce. Shannon Chamberlain, Diamond Wire Farms. From the state of South Carolina, coons are an indispensable part of our farm as homesteading and self-sufficiency operations. As grazers, they are extremely economical to raise for showing, piglet sales, and pork production. Additionally, they keep our orchard cleared of fallen fruit, recycle the waste from our gardens and kitchen, and because they are grass-fed, produce extremely high-quality compost that we use to enrich the soil throughout the farm. It is a big bonus that they are friendly, easy to manage, and just plain cute. Lisa Helfer, Rowdy Moon Farm LLC. From the state of Illinois, coons have an almost human personality. You just can't help fall for them. They become part of your family. Bob Balanzifen, RGB Exotics. From the state of North Carolina, when considering a pig as pet, one should consider a coon, as they are easy to train, require little care, they love to graze, and they thrive in a family setting and love children. I first began my love of pigs after watching Arnold on Green Acres as a child. I was in love with pigs in both nature and nature. However, as I entered my retirement years, I decided a pig was something I could not add to my small farm because of their large size, rooting problems, and the inability to move such a large animal easily. Then I discovered the coon, and my life has been enriched ever since. Coons are known for their laid-back and very docile temperament. They react calmly to most all situations, and because of their nature, they are very valuable as a loyal companion. If you raise chickens, goats, or any other small livestock, coons will be a welcome companion. Coons are quite sociable and oftentimes very entertaining. Vicky Elmay, Oh My Coons. From the state of New Hampshire, why raise coon pigs, you ask? Because they graze. Coon pigs are known to fatten on grass with very little, if any, desire to root. The nutrients they get from the grass are healthier for them and for us if utilized as finished pork. You can save at least a quarter of your average feed cost by allowing them to graze on the free grass that grows in your established pasture. Grazing pigs are much less work for you, minimizing the need to shovel and move their waste. Allowing your pigs to graze will naturally fertilize and improves the quality of your pasture. Heather Hermanson, Grazing Hill Farm. From the state of Washington, we selected purebred coons for our farm because they are extremely friendly, do not root or challenge fences, and because their meat is exquisite due to its higher fat content than commercial breeds. They will eat anything from our orchard and garden except onions and garlic. With a breeding pair, a family can keep themselves in pork year-round. They are the easiest and most rewarding animals we have ever owned. Karin Kraft, the Iron Horse Farm. From the state of Arizona, Kun Kun pigs are the perfect homestead hogs. Having one boar and two sows will supply the homestead with meat, lard for making soap and for cooking, and an excess of pork to use for barter or for income. Kun Kun pigs only weigh 150 pounds at butcher weight, so a family can easily handle butchering and consume that amount of meat in a reasonable time. The pigs will fatten on pasture and extra vegetables from the garden and any other leftovers other than meat or sweets. Kun Kun pigs are friendly with people, so there are no worries having your children around them. Even when they have piglets, the sows are not aggressive. They farrow easily and produce plenty of milk for the piglets. With their upturned snouts, they are not hard on pasture. They are tidy little pigs. They will choose one area of their pasture to use as a bathroom, making it easier to clean up after them. They do not eliminate in their pig houses or in the area where they are fed. Kun Kun pigs are super friendly, easy to raise, and they will teach you and your children so much. St. Watson, Spring Farm Kun Kuns. From the state of New York, the Kunakun pig's manageable size, ability to fatten primarily on pasture, extremely docile nature, and excellent health make them an ideal pig for our farm. Our busy schedules with children, other business, volunteer time, and the farm require livestock that are easy to do chores around, require minimal health care intervention, and they are able to coexist in our pastures and barns. Our chickens, pigs, and alpaca live together in unison, grazing together in the fields and sharing stalls in the barn. The Kunakun pigs not only are easy to care for, but make everyday chores a delight. Their sweet individual personalities has made them endearing, and they bring a smile to all who meet them, whether a child or an adult. The Kunakun is a perfect fit for those who want to raise livestock but have busy lives outside the farm. Barb Rossi, Bel Canto Farm. Well, you have heard it firsthand how farmers all over the country are raising and using Kun Kun pigs in their farms. We hope that you enjoyed this article, and we look forward to sharing more with you in the next edition of the American Livestock Magazine.
Yeah! Yeah, our Kun Kuns will be pet organic composting machines.
Peckham.
Yeah, we will not be eating them.
No. Would you eat your dog? Would you eat your cat?
Eat that. Yeah.
That's disgusting.
Tastes like chicken.
Yeah, I'll eat my guts, though. And a chicken or two. We get enough
and
geese, hold them too.
And a cat or two.
No.
Yeah. All right. One person said that you could use them as pets, but the other website said, these are not pets.
Not house pets.
Not house pets, right. One lady who breeds and sells small pigs for pets claims that they will use a litter box, just like a cat.
Right.
Maybe they will. You know, I don't think a goat would, but a pig, especially a Kun Kun, they might.
Yeah,
but Julian.
Oh,
that's the other thing. Julians. Julians are apparently not the smallest pig. Apparently, Kun Kuns are.
That depends on the Julian.
Well, and the description of the Julian actually matches the description of a Kun Kun.
Yeah, except the Julian's a European pig.
And supposedly they don't get very big at all. Like, they don't get any bigger than a cat.
Depends on the breed of the Julian.
Right, and it depends on the breeder.
And they're not very stabilized. They're not standardized.
That's the problem. Whereas the Kunikun apparently has been standardized.
Right. So if you want to get a Julian, make sure you do your homework. Make sure that you do your homework on the breeder. Make sure you do your homework on the breeder's pigs.
Yep. You want to see the mom, the dad, and the grandparents, and the great-grandparents if you can. Because if one of them's a big porker, you're taking a chance.
Right. Because they're only supposed to get about, what, 60 pounds max?
Well, there's some Julians that get up to 10 pounds max. And then there's others that get all the way up to 150.
Oh, 10. Okay, I was thinking 60.
Yeah, there's some that are 10 pounds at adult size. But the 150s are also Julian, so, you know.
Supposedly. Yeah, they'll sell you a 150-pound Julian, but that doesn't mean it's actually a Julian.
Well, it's mom and dad might have been. Unfortunately, great-granddad was a...
Right. So, if we decide to get Julians, we'd have to do a lot of homework.
Yep.
But we do have a friend who has a female Julian. And supposedly...
How big is it?
From the pictures I saw, she wasn't that big.
And
maybe more.
How big are her parents?
That's a good question. I think it was a rescue pig.
So you wouldn't know.
Yeah. I don't know. We have to ask Jazz.
Yep.
But, you know, it's just like this new associate said, you know, to be careful with this guy that we were going to be looking at getting our Kunikuns from. You got to do your homework on the people you're getting your pigs from, any animal for that matter. But, you know, we got a red flag on this guy. But that doesn't mean that the red flag is right. Maybe she just don't like the guy, you know. But she's a lot like us, you know. As far as, you know, their website basically says pretty much the same thing our website says, except theirs is more PC because I'm not very PC. And but other than that, you know, what they're doing, their website content, their lifestyles, the whole nine yards, the way they think, the way they act, is very, very similar to ours. So, you know, it makes me want to believe her, but we should still do our homework on the guy.
Right.
You know, and have a backup plan. So we need to start doing our homework on other people as well. And she may know somebody who might know somebody who might know somebody who might know somebody.
Oh, man.
I know somebody who knows somebody who robbed somebody. Yeah. Always do your homework. You know, just because we tell you something that we know is firsthand knowledge or even hearsay evidence, it doesn't matter. Even if we've done our homework, you need to go do your homework as well. Don't take anything that we say as face value or weight. Whatever. Don't take anything that we say as gold. Go do your own homework.
It's not golden until you know it yourself, firsthand knowledge yourself.
Exactly.
All we have to offer you is copper coins.
Copper!
Penny for your thought?
That's it. Our two coppers would be worth 4 cents. So, yeah, one copper would be worth 1 cent. 2 cents. 2 cents worth. Our 2 cents worth is worth 1 gram of copper. Which actually may be worth 3 cents now, but I'm not sure. Copper, let's find out. What is 1 gram of copper worth? Google says 3 cents. So, yeah. Our 3 cents is now worth 3 cents.
Okay.
2.83 cents, to be exact.
We gonna shave off that 3/10 of a penny?
Nah.
Pig breeds. Smaller pig variations, mini pigs. Micro / teacup / pocket pigs do not exist. Mini pigs are not a breed. It is a classification, and they are mini in comparison to their cousins, the farm hog, who can grow to be 600 to 1,200 pounds. Please also understand that although these breeds used to be very specific, in our current times and situation, almost all breeding is mixture of one or even a few of these breeds. It is very rare to find a purebred individual these days, except in potbellies and kun kun. Use these breeds as a guide and educational tool, not a definitive answer for determining what you may have gotten as a pet. Vietnamese potbelly. Potbelly pigs have a short to medium snout that is wrinkled. They have small erect ears and large jowls in proportion to the head. They have a short neck, pronounced potbelly, sway back and straight tail, with a switch at the end. They are typically less than 18 inches in height and weigh 60 pounds and up. They originally came in colors of black or white or a black/white combination. The potbelly has been a long-time favorite because of its appearance and easy disposition. http://www.merckmanuals.com/vet/exotic_and_laboratory_animals/potbellied_pigs/overview_pigs/overview_pigs.html. Picture. Vietnamese potbelly. Cun cun, these pigs have not been in the U.S. long. There are only 2 reported imports that came from New Zealand in 1995. One of the most distinctive features of the Cun Cun are their tassels or wattles hanging from their lower jaw. They are approximately 4 centimeters long. They have a short and turned up snout. Their ears are prick or semi-locked. Their legs are short and their bodies are short and round. They have a very pleasant and placid personality. Their weight is typically up to 300 pounds. Females are up to 250. Their color range includes black, black/white, white, gold, tan, and brown. They can also have patches or spots. Please see http://www.americancunacunpigregistry.com/breed-standard. Picture. Cun Cun. Juliana has painted mini, mixed breed. This breed is a debatable one. Some say there are no purebred Juliana pigs left. Some say it is not a breed to begin with. There is a registry for these pigs, but that doesn't mean that you are getting a better pig. These variants of miniature pigs trace their ancestry back to Europe and was developed through a selective breeding program to enhance it as smaller size, temperament, and intelligence. They are reported to be the cross of several different breeds. They were imported to the U.S. They have small to medium ears, a slight pot belly, short hair, sway back and short straight tail. They have a very gentle disposition and love to play. Their height is between 13 to 18 inches and they typically weigh 50 pounds and up. They are only very slightly smaller than a pot belly. Note, the Juliana Registry lists a weight for this breed that we do not agree with. Although this mixed breed does tend to remain small, they should not be anywhere near 30 pounds full grown. Asterisk photo credit Franklin of www.petpigspa.com. Please see http://www.julianapig.com/breedstandard.html. Picture. Juliana. Pygmy hog, Porcula salvania. There seems to be a lot of confusion surrounding this breed of pigs. We believe this is due to the term Guinea being thrown around a lot and it also being part of different breed titles. This breed is almost all but extinct. Please do not confuse it with the more current American Guinea hog, which is a larger hog originally designed for meat production but fell out of favor with breeders because it was too small for production purposes. You can find more info on American Guinea hogs here. These pigs are on the critically endangered list, which originated from Nepal, India, and Bhutan but now only found in Assam. The current population is fewer than 150 individuals worldwide. There are recent conservation efforts going on, but they still remain on the endangered list. They are anywhere from 15 to 30 pounds and only live about 8 years. Their skin is dark brown slash black and the hair is typically dark. The piglets are born grayish slash pink but becoming brown with yellowish stripes. Their gestation period is 100 days. New analysis of a large section of mitochondrial DNA supports the original classification of the pygmy hog as a unique genus. They were named after the forest in which they were found. Asterisk photo credit Jean Paul Ferrero of Oscape International. Please see http://www.aarchive.org/pygmy-hog/porcula-salvania. http://www.rosamondbuchertzoo.org/assets/upload/animals/pdf/west-african-guinea-hog.pdf. http://en.wikipedia.org/wiki/pygmy_hog. Picture. African pygmy. Osaba pig. These are classified as feral pigs. A feral pig is defined as stock that is wild and untamed, uncultivated, and born in the wild and slash or in a wild state after escaping from captivity. They are known to have been running wild for nearly 500 years with no introduction of domestic or other outside blood. They were brought for food by the colonists who settled in Georgia, possibly by the Spanish. There is, however, thought to be origins from the Canary Islands. The original breed is on the critical conservatory list. On the mainland of the U.S. they have since been crossed with many domestic breeds. However, the strain is thought to have remained pure off the Georgia coast on Osaba Island. Osaba pigs have long snouts, heavy coats, and pricked ears. They have excellent temperaments, are lively and extremely intelligent due to their wild heritage. They are very friendly and easy to train and usually bond well with all members of the family, including other pets. It is reported that they will live 15 years or more. Although insular dwarfism allows the hogs to stay small on the island from 40 to 90 pounds, we are told that in captivity on the mainland they will easily reach 200 pounds. Their height is between 14 to 20 inches and their typical weight is between 200 to 300 pounds. Their colors are solid, including gray, blue, and red. Spotted include black slash white. Stripped includes red slash black and calico, black slash white slash red. A solid white is rare. Please see http://www.livestockconservancy.org/index.php/heritage/internal/osaba. Picture. Osaba. Yucatan pig. These pigs originated in Mexico and Central America. They have straight backs and no pot belly, short snouts, sparse coats, and medium-sized ears. They are slate gray to black in color and are usually very gentle. They are often used in laboratories since their skin, cardiac, and other systems very closely resemble those of humans. The larger types have males weighing up to 210 pounds and females up to 180. The laboratories have bred for the smaller type and have produced the miniatures, which weigh approximately 100 pounds, with heights of 16 to 24 inches. Please see http://www.sinclairbioresources.com/products/yucatan.aspx. Picture. Yucatan. Laboratory bred miniature pigs. There are many breeds that have been created for laboratory use only. As cruel as this may sound, it is a very real reality. There is a lot of misconceptions out there that a few of these miniature pig variations have made it into the public's hands. There is no evidence of that at this time. These animals are bred under very controlled conditions or are raised specifically to be laboratory animals only. Laboratories breed these pigs under lock and key. They tend to give the breed the name of the laboratory in which they were created, or were originally derived from. There are numerous different laboratory breeds that were developed for very specific studies in the biomedical field. The amount of different breeds created is actually staggering. We will only list the most prominent few here in the U.S. The reason that pigs are developed and tested in laboratories, although we may never agree with it, is because the anatomical and systemic properties of the pig are very closely related to that of humans, especially that of the cardiovascular system. We have relied on pigs for artificial heart valves, artificial kidney, liver, pancreas, and intestines, dental enhancements, and other major medical treatments for years now. Some of the breeds that play major roles in the biomedical research field, within the U.S. only, are as follows: Hanford, Yucatan Micro, Sinclair, and Göttingen. Those are listed from largest to smallest in size. There is a lot of information out there on these specific breeds and what each is specifically used for, in different studies. However, we will not go into major detail about them in this article, in an attempt to not confuse the general public. Again, as of current, 2015, there is no evidence that these pig breeds, specifically bred for the laboratory, have made it into the mainstream mixes of mini pig strains. If you are interested in these variations, please visit the website listed below as a launching point. Please see http://vep.sagepub.com/content/49/2/344.full. Picture. The Göttingen Mini Pig. Commercial swine breeds. There are about 70 breeds of commercial swine all over the U.S. and worldwide. Each is produced for a very specific production need. Some are better breeders, have better meat, are easier to keep, have better personalities, are great in the show pen, and some fit even more specific niches in the farming community. It is very important to understand that all our mini pig varieties came from these larger counterparts at one point. They have been crossed and bred down for years to produce some of the miniature and docile breeds we now recognize. Although important and a good basic understanding of the commercial pig breeds should be obtained, it is too much for us to explore almost 70 breeds of swine on a dedicated miniature pet pig website. We encourage you to visit the site referenced below to further your understanding and explore all these larger breeds. They are very interesting, and I am sure you will find the site very useful. When you have the time to sit down and explore, please visit this website. Please see www.nc.okstate.edu/breeds/swine. http://www.fpigsite.com/info/swinebreeds.php.
Swine breeds!
Right.
So a Julian should only be about 30 pounds maximum.
Well, yeah. But they vary widely because it's not... It's not standardized breed, and you know, this article said, or the one before it maybe, said that there's some who say it's not even a breed. Like, well, yeah, if it hasn't been stabilized, no, it's not a breed.
Well, they said that teacups and a teacup pig is not a breed.
Yeah, it's a that's a description, but there, at the very beginning of one of the articles, they said that Julians might not even be a breed. You know, some people don't believe it's a breed.
Yeah, you'd have to do some very extensive homework on them.
It's my understanding, though, that in Europe there was a breed called the Julian, and that what they're producing now
is a very good attempt at reproducing it.
Yeah, and it also said, what was it, the pygmy pig is actually probably smaller than a Julian even.
Okay.
Not a pygmy. Yeah, pygmy. I think it was a pygmy pig. I have to go back and listen to it. I don't have the website anymore. I converted it to audio. But, yeah.
Yeah, you should probably start reading it.
Huh?
You should probably start reading it.
I did. But I read too slow in order for me to read it on the podcast. The podcast would be an hour just for me reading one article.
Oh, my. Looks like I'm being paged by somebody.
I didn't do it. It's probably Joe Mama. Oh, no, he would have called an hour and a half ago or 2 hours ago. And then by now he'd be saying, oh, wait a minute. Don't you have a podcast tonight?
Yeah. He's done that.
Oh, yeah. So I have a new person to add to our network.
Woohoo!
In the Kansas area. I went and networked with them today with CES. And I found out through networking with them through CES that they have what they call the Light Center. And the Light Center is their... not really. They don't call themselves an intentional community. They call themselves a, what did I call it earlier?
A global village?
Eco village, yeah.
Eco village.
And actually, she started calling it an eco village, but then she got labeled. And so now she tries not to label what she's doing at all. But her neighbor, when she started calling it an eco-village, her neighbor freaked out and was scared to death.
Why?
Apparently, she's been brainwashed into thinking that eco-villages are religious sects.
Right.
Sects. How do you spell that? S-E-C-T.
S-E-C-T.
Yeah. Not S-E-X, but S-E-C-T.
S-E-C-T. Sect.
Sect.
Not so, sect. Sect.
Right. So she freaked out about it. And she's gotten a lot of grief from her community because she was calling it an eco-village in the beginning. So she dropped that label real quick. Oh, hang on. My asparagus is frying in the frying pan.
How does it feel to be able to cook in a real kitchen?
Feels good in the neighborhood.
Yeah, it was kind of nice cooking in a kitchen that had been kind of cleaned up. Now that the weather's warmer.
You're not making a mess.
I didn't know those burners didn't burn so big in the first place.
Do what?
Well, the burners in the kitchen, they don't burn, they don't put out a lot of gas.
Right.
But if it's warm, it's enough to cook on.
All right.
If it's cold, it barely gets the pan warm.
Yeah.
So I didn't, you know. In the wintertime, I noticed, hey, it isn't putting out very much heat.
Quit your whining.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Just kidding. Kansas. We're not in Kansas anymore, Toto. Actually, I am. Okay.
How do you spell throw out? There we go.
So I'm adding them to our website now. The Light Center. Now these guys are more on the metaphysical side, where we're not.
It's all metaphysical.
True, but I mean, you know what I'm talking about.
Ken Hovind talked about my kind.
What?
I'm one of the ones he referred to and kind of poo-pooed them because they said, we're not really here in the first place.
Right. These guys are in Baldwin City, Kansas, which is just north of Ottawa. You know where Ottawa is?
Ottawa is up in Canada.
That too, but there's an Ottawa, Kansas.
There's probably an Ottawa, Missouri.
Probably.
Because Missouri is really strange that way.
You're right. Mexico is in northern Missouri.
Yeah, Mexico, Cuba, Louisiana, California. Those are all cities in Missouri.
And Colombia.
Colombia! And El Dorado Springs.
El Dorado.
Yeah, El Dudu in my mind.
Whatever. And Nevada.
Nevada.
That's what I said.
Uh-huh. Unfortunately, there is not a Nevada, Nevada. That would have been funny. Call them up and say, how do you pronounce the name of your town? And how do you pronounce the name of your state? Uh-huh. Do you spell them any differently? No? No? But you pronounce them differently. Okay. Bye. Yeah, unfortunately, there's none for me to call and ask them that.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Whatever. Kind of guys, Tommaso.
Let's see now.
Somebody texted you.
Yeah. Okay, I will go with Dave Powers. Oh, yeah.
Okay, this is 12 seconds long. You ready?
All right. Hey, you didn't do this.
Gardening is the most therapeutic and defiant act you can do, especially in the inner city. Plus, you get strawberries.
Plus, you get strawberries. Growing your own food is like printing your own money.
Plus, you get strawberries.
Gardening is the most therapeutic and defiant act you can do, especially in the inner city. Plus, you get strawberries.
Strawberries. My grandma and grandpa have wild strawberries growing in the garden bed, so I am going to add some domestic strawberries to the wild strawberries and get some domestic wild strawberries.
No, they won't crossbreed.
I know, I'm just playing.
You'll probably overgrow her wild one. But it'd probably be a better idea to create a brand new bed and put the strawberries in those.
Too late.
You have to move strawberries every 3 years or disease will wipe them out.
Well, I don't know. We'll find out. I'm going to try it anyways because the wild strawberries are still growing there. So the wild ones are growing there. I think it'll be okay to grow domestic ones.
Right.
And then in 3 years, I'll move them. But I won't be here in 3 years.
Then how do you like that job?
Plus you get strawberries.
Plus you get strawberries.
Plus you get strawberries. Plus you get strawberries. Plus you get strawberries. Plus you get strawberries. Plus you get strawberries. Plus you get strawberries. Plus you get strawberries. Plus you get strawberries.
Millions of strawberries. Strawberries for me. Strawberries come in a box. They were put there by an ox in a factory downtown. You are strong like baby ox.
Yeah.
La vida loca.
Yep, yep.
Yep, 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 yep. Uh-huh. Okay, April.
What?
I left the paperwork in the truck. But maybe April 22nd, I'll have you come up.
April 22nd?
In Ottawa, Kansas, these people that I'm putting on our website.
Yes.
They are having a thing. Hang on. Let me go to my pick-em-up truck because that's where I left you fly off. Oh, let me stir my asparagus right now. I got them on low heat so that I don't destroy any enzymes and whatnot. Or if I do, it's not going to be very much. You want to try to cook things at under 110 degrees, preferably. If you do go over 110, do not go over 150.
Yeah, that's why you're supposed to use water with your olive oil, so you don't burn your olive oil.
Right. Yeah, I didn't.
Popping, you're too hot.
Yeah. I didn't put water in it, but I put butter in it. Unsalted real butter. Olive butter oil.
Olive butter oil.
Olive butter oil. Which is better than the olive butter oil that I actually bought in the store when I was living in Independence, because it had partially hydrogenated whatchamacallit stuff in it.
Okay, when are you coming, having me come up?
Hang on. I just put the flyer out of my pick-em-up-a-trucka. Pick-em-up-a-trucka. Speaking of vehicles, my uncle came and removed one of the junk cars he dumped off of my grandparents' backyard today, which is good.
Ew.
Yeah. Tired of my grandparents' backyard looking like a junkyard. Okay. April 22nd, 2017.
Okay. That works.
It's on a Sunday between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. They're doing a farm to fiber fest. basically, you know, alpacas, wool sheep, things of that nature. And their website is farm2fiberfest.com.
You know, they have a mohair goat.
Do what?
They have a mohair goat.
I don't know.
They do.
Oh, you're saying they have a no-hair goat?
No, a mohair.
Mohair.
And they make yarn out of it.
Ah.
And I'm getting a strange echo.
Echo, 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 echo. Echo-rama.
You know on Charlie Brown how they sound like wah, 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 wah?
Never heard of him.
Oh, well. Peanut gallery. Whenever the adults talk, wah, 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 and the kids all go, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Wah, 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 wah.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, well. Well, anyway, my echo sounds like that. I doubt if you hear it.
Wah, 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 wah. Never heard of it.
Yeah.
Sha, and monkeys might sprout to be bought.
Good thing that was unintelligible or somebody would know you said a bad word.
Yeah, Jiminy Christmas. There we go. Okay, somebody made a comment on something that I was tagged in. What was I tagged in?
It was me.
Dave Matter. But prove to me that gravity can bend light.
Jerry sent that.
Is Jerry's name Dave Matters?
I have no idea who that is.
Yeah. Well, I guess somebody... Oh, I guess he tagged me in it. Let me go to my wall and make sure it's not on my wall. Well, actually, I don't care if that's on my wall. It's not that big of a deal. I've had people tag me in porn, and it got put on my wall, even though I've got wall filters.
Yeah.
Makes me crazy. I don't know how they get past my wall filters. Oh, okay. It's in my wall filter. Let me go look. I'll let that one go on there. Years do not pass! Just kidding.
Yeah, I had to block certain people because they'd send things that were inappropriate. And I kept telling them, stop doing that. They did it anyway, so I ended up blocking them.
Yeah, then sorry about that.
Me for blocking them.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I didn't mean to.
Like, well, you know, sometimes kids look at my site, and I don't need to have women with their stuff hanging out on my Facebook.
But you didn't have to block me.
Yeah, well, you didn't have to close that. Didn't have to tag me in that nasty picture.
Yeah, like I would do that.
No, it wasn't you.
It wasn't me.
Well, I'm giving you a clue. The guy went by the name of Maggot.
Maggot. Maggot is what Maggot does.
Yeah, well, he thought it was funny, and so he kept doing it, and so I blocked him.
C-E-S. 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 All right. April 2nd, they're doing another CES at the Light Center. I teased the girl that is now the new website administrator. She's not the admin, but she's the website admin for, you know, doing the online stuff. Well, I guess I'm going to make her the admin. But anyways, I don't know if she's the admin or what. But anyways, she was taking over it today, and or at least taking over helping with it. And she was, like, asking me if I would come, since I signed up, come and have a booth at the Light Festival, or not Light Festival, the Light Center. And I was like, is that an April Fool's joke? And I made her, I had to make her think about it for a second. Because it's on April 2nd.
Right.
So I asked her if that was an April Fool's joke.
Uh-huh.
Shut up, stupid.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah, because you're retarded. You're demented. Demented. DungeonsandDragons.com.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Where we talk about everything, including Dungeons and Dragons.
What's that?
I have no idea. Actually.
The Decentralized Library of Alexandria.
Alexandria.
The Library of Alexandria was a huge library in northern Africa. And it was named after Alexander. And they had collected books from all over the world. And, you know, all the big thinkers would show up there to read the books and discuss ideas and this, that, and the other. And eventually some big Yahoo military hotshot decided he didn't like it, and so he went down and burned the library.
Yeah, it's probably what's going to happen to the Unitarian Church.
Yeah. Yeah. So this guy, he came with this idea of writing up a program for a distributed network where the people who go to look at the information on the site help distribute the site. In other words, there is no server for the site.
It's all BitTorrent?
Bitcoin, actually. And, yeah. So, you know, you literally get paid for in Bitcoin for everybody who looks at the site when you're holding part of the site on your computer. And, you know, so you get paid for the space that's being used for the site. And, you know, you pay for when you go look at parts of it, too. So it all kind of balances out. It's sort of like a big Ubuntu thing with CES as the grease.
Cool.
Anyway, so it's a big decentralized library. No real servers, just a bunch of people who are looking at information, passing it around as they look at it. So his thoughts were the original Library of Alexandria was a big, huge, tragic example of what happens when you centralize. But if everybody carries a little piece of the library, then nobody can burn the library down.
Exactly. They'd have to burn down 100,000 places.
They'd have to burn them all down all at once. Otherwise, the little bits and pieces of the library are traveling all over the place, and they can get at it.
That's exactly why the Russians could not hack the election.
I know.
But people are convinced that the Russians hacked the election.
Yeah, who spread that rumor and then later was forced to admit it was a lie and that they created it?
I don't know. But
yeah,
I just know it was a lie.
There's a whole bunch of political crap like that going out, but oh well.
Political BS.
Yep.
Most political is BS.
Well, then they said the Russians hacked this one power plant, and it turns out that somebody had bought some software online. It was on their laptop, and it wasn't even hooked up to the power company at all anyway. But they
right.
said, you know, the Russian virus.
An isolated laptop that was not even hooked up to the grid got hacked by
It wasn't hacked. It was some software that had a virus that came originally from Russia.
That's right. That's what it was. I'm sorry. Yeah, it was a virus. It wasn't a hack.
It was a piece of infected software.
But yeah, it's just like that. That person told somebody else, and that
was
somebody
else. I'm sorry, you said something?
That person probably told somebody, and then that somebody told somebody else, and that somebody else told somebody else, and then that somebody else told somebody else, and 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 by then, the Russians hacked us!
Yeah, I think, if I remember right, the story was more along the lines of the CIA reported it as a hack of a power plant and then later admitted that they lied.
Yeah, our intelligence that we pay them to be intelligent is not very intelligent.
Well, they're very intelligent. They're purposely making us confused and deluded and upset and whatever. Doing a damn good job of it.
True, but they later had to admit that they lied, which means they're not intelligent enough to tell a story that people will they're not intelligent enough to back up their story.
Yeah, whatever.
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 If they were intelligent, as they claim to be, they would even have us involved.
Yeah. But think of their competition. The American people. They don't have to be intelligent.
True that.
Even Dumb and Dumber are smarter than dumbest, I think.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Hello, and welcome to the Dumb and Dumber podcast.
You forgot dumbest. Hello. You still there?
Yep. Nope.
Nope, nope.
Peaches for me. I'm still adding these people to the website.
Plus you get strawberries.
Plus you get strawberries every day. Farm to FiberFest.com. Open a new tab.
Your own garden is like printing money.
Growing your own garden is like printing your own moolah. Moolah. Moolah.
Yeah, I'll have to capture that one too.
Moo, moo, moo. Moo, 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 you cow. gently down the field.
No.
Meow. Meow, 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 meow. Meow, 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 meow. Meow, 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 meow. Well, this girl who invited me to the CES thingy didn't even go to the CES thingy.
Shame on her.
Yeah. But she was at the other event that I went to the other day. So if I didn't go to the other event, I wouldn't have stumbled across this woman. And then she wouldn't have posted the CES deal, and I wouldn't have went to it today. And I wouldn't have signed up on the CES as quickly as I did.
Yay.
Yay for the retarded kid! Wah, wah, wah. Brr, brr, brr.
Hack.
Oh, Ron Paul. Hang on.
Ron who?
Paul. Revolution.
I think you're losing it.
I'm Paul with your weekly update for Monday, March 6th. History shows that if individuals have the freedom to choose what to use as money, they will likely opt for gold or silver. Even governments have tried to manage and manipulate gold or silver-backed currency instead of outright abolishing it. Of course, modern politicians and their Keynesian enablers despise the gold or silver standard. This is because linking a currency to a precious metal limits the ability of central banks to finance the growth of the welfare warfare state via the inflation tax. This forces politicians to finance big government with much more direct means of taxation. Despite the hostility toward gold from modern progressives, gold played a role in the U.S. money policy for 60 years after the creation of the Federal Reserve. Then, in 1971, as concerns over the U.S. government's increasing deficits led many foreign governments to convert their holdings of U.S. dollars to gold, President Nixon closed the gold window, creating America's first purely fiat currency. Since the 2008 Fed-created economic meltdown, more Americans have become aware of the Federal Reserve's responsibility for America's economic problems. This growing anti-Fed sentiment is one of the key factors behind the Liberty Movement's growth and represents the most serious challenge to the Fed's legitimacy in its history. This movement has made audit the Fed into a major national issue that is now closer than ever to being signed into law. Audit the Fed is not the only focus of the growing anti-Fed movement. For example, this Wednesday, the Arizona Senate Finance and Rules Committee will consider legislation, HB 2014, officially defining gold and silver and other precious metals as legal tender. The bill also exempts transactions in precious metals from state capital gains taxes, thus ensuring that people are not punished by the tax man for rejecting Federal Reserve notes in favor of gold or silver. Since inflation increases the value of precious metals, these taxes give the government one more way to profit from Federal Reserve currency's debasement. HR 2014 is a very important and timely piece of legislation. The Federal Reserve's failure to reignite the economy with record low interest rates since the last crash is a sign that we may soon see the dollar's collapse. It is therefore imperative that the law protect the people's right to use alternatives to what may soon be virtually worthless Federal Reserve notes. Passage of HB 2014 would also send a message to Congress and the Trump administration that the anti-Fed movement is growing in influence. Thus, passage of this bill will not just strengthen movements in other states to pass similar legislation, but will also help build support for audit the Fed bill and legislation repealing federal legal tender laws. This Wednesday, I will be in Arizona to help rally support for HB 2014. Speaking on behalf of the bill before the Arizona Senate Finance Committee at 9 a.m., I will also be speaking at a rally at noon at the Arizona State Capitol. I hope every supporter of Sound Money in the Phoenix area joins me to show their support for ending the Fed's money monopoly. Thanks for calling this update. A new update is placed at this number, 888-322-1414 every Sunday. The written text can be found on my Ron Paul Institute website at www.ronpaulinstitute.org and on my Facebook page.
Facebook page!
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
Wait for it.
To repeat the announcement, press 1. Six.
Yeah, I tried that.
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
One don't work.
Hey, pressing worked. So, you want to go to Phoenix?
Yeah. Let's go.
Lindsay want us?
What?
When does he want us there?
I don't remember.
Yeah, it's kind of a mute point, though. The Fed has already gone past its charter. So,
yep.
You know, why have we been putting up with it?
Right. He doesn't talk about that, though. I wonder why.
Yeah, got any bills with printed with the year beyond 2013 on them?
Actually, to be honest, I haven't been paying that much attention.
But Joe made such a big deal out of it. Why haven't you?
You didn't let me finish. I was paying attention for a while, but lately, I have not been paying that much attention.
Yeah, I haven't paid attention at all.
What?
What?
So Mama's been making such a big deal about it. What's the matter with you? Okay, 2013, 2014, 2009, 2013.
What? New 2017 bills?
Nope. Hey, what about the coins?
We should put up out a campaign. We'll pay $100 for any 2017 dollar bill.
Yeah, right. Forget that. I ain't paying $100 for no fiat dollar.
You ain't paying 100 fiat for one fiat?
Hell no. I'll pay 100 Monopoly dollars for one fiat dollar.
Hey, if I could get a fiat for $100, I'd be happy.
I don't know. I don't think a fiat is worth $100. All right, so now the Light Center is officially added to the DD&D Community Networking Center.
Woohoo.
Yeah, so go to daviddavidanddavid.com, go to Community, drop-down box to Networks, go over to Intentional Communities, and then there's a list. Missouri and all of the states that touch Missouri. And there I have a list of all the networks that I have found so far that are either in Missouri or the surrounding areas. And they're not actually necessarily intentional communities. I just labeled them that. But because that's more of a neutral terminology. But what I wrote on each of the pages, if I can get back there again, because I left. here is the list of eco villages, communes, co-housing, co-ops, off-grid, and or sustainable communities I have found so far. Or actually, that we have found so far. In Arkansas,
around a lot.
Huh?
You've been snooping around a lot.
I have, actually. Oh, I need to update. Well, I mean, I have to. Let's go back to the website. They may have it on their website. All right. Intentional Communities, Missouri. It's all the way at the bottom, just because I didn't find them. They're not actually all the way at the bottom. They're third from the bottom. Prairie Creek. I got their CES site on there, but I didn't put their new one on there. Let's see if I can find their new... it looks like they did update their website because it's different than it was before. All right, let's see if they have their time bank. Get involved. Ubuntu. The church. Looks like they don't have their time bank on there yet.
No time bank.
Yep. But yeah, their Native American church is basically the same thing as Cloud Pilar's Native American church.
I told her I've been horrible because I was sure that I had to go check them out in order to know what they were about, because I've met Native American church people who just wanted the peyote. Her joke says, no, we're just in it for the marijuana.
That's funny.
Even funnier, she's halfway serious. She uses medicine.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. You know how I've been talking about how you need both parts of the marijuana, not just the THC?
Yep, she's on board with that.
Right. I've been telling people this for years, at least a decade. And about 6, 7, maybe 8 years ago, I learned about a company in Colorado that was actually hybriding their pot to be high levels of CBD and low levels of THC, which I thought was odd and unique because they were the only ones doing it, or at least the only ones I had heard of doing it. But they did it not for this girl, but they did it for reasons. For this girl. They didn't actually do it for her. They were already doing it. But this little kid was having problems. I don't remember what the problems were, but she was having a lot of problems and nothing was working for her. So her parents found this company in Colorado that, you know, basically bred the marijuana, not hemp, but marijuana, to
right.
be high in CBDs and low in THCs. And because they understood the healing properties of the CBDs.
Right.
But still, they're defeating the purpose. You need both, not one or the other. Nonetheless, this girl or these parents got in touch with these guys, and they were reluctant to experiment on this family's kid because she was so young. She's the youngest case known at the time. youngest person known, or whatever you want to call it, to be using this product. And they were worried about the repercussions because the child was so young. But the parents insisted that they've tried everything else. This is, you know, the only thing really left that they know to try. And it was low on THC, so it wasn't like they were getting their kid high or anything, because I'm sure there was some kind of side effect from it being such high levels of CBD, but it wasn't like THC. So I learned about that, and that just fueled my fire for telling people about, you know, having both levels, you know, both sides. The THC and the CBDs are what you want. You don't want one or the other. You want an equal amount of both, the way God created it, not the way man manipulated it.
Well, how does it occur in nature?
Right, ditch weed. Pardon?
What's the balance in nature? That's
right. Yeah, I don't know what the natural balance is, and depending on the soils, it may be higher or lower, but it's going to be, you know, pretty well balanced, you know. The soil or the plants in your area may be balanced for your needs. Just like the local honey is, you want to eat your local honey, not honey that was imported from another country or state.
Right, right. And under his fig tree.
Right. So you want your local ditch weed. You don't want street marijuana. You don't want medical marijuana, because both of them are manipulated. Both of them are, in my book, equally dangerous, but I think street marijuana can potentially be far more dangerous than medical marijuana. But it depends on who you get it from.
Depends on what they adulterate it with.
Exactly. But they're both adulterating it. And you don't want either one, really. You want the ditch weed. It's not going to get you high. If it does, you get a buzz like you would if you hadn't smoked a cigarette in a while and you smoke a cigarette real fast. That's about it. You might get a five-minute buzz, more like a one-minute buzz, you know. That would be the most you would get off of ditch weed, you know. Maybe not the first time you smoked it, but you really shouldn't even be smoking it. You should be eating it. So, so anyways.
Just don't eat Labrador.
Right. So when I went to this event the other night, I discovered that they have officially figured out a way to put CBDs on the market for an over-the-counter product.
No prescription.
No prescription. So now, primarily for pot smokers who are getting too much THC in their body, they can balance themselves out with the CBDs.
Woo-hoo.
But CBDs have medicinal properties just like THC does. I bought a bottle just, you know, for research and development. And I'm actually thinking about becoming a distributor and selling it. CBD and THC, you want to balance them both. But there's actually a product now on the market to get your CBDs. You just can't buy your THC on the market without having a license or doing it illegally. And even at that, you shouldn't buy it on the street, or you shouldn't buy it from your pharmacologist or whatever. You just, yeah. But supposedly, the CBD product is all natural. not unadulterated, but it's at least all natural. Says here, well, this one here is a water-soluble CBD supplement. The ingredients are purified water, purified by reverse osmosis, natural and artificial flavoring, which I'm not too happy about the artificial flavoring part, concentrated cannabinoid, and yeah, basically cannabis, but cannabinoid, which is actually the CBD. This is the other side of the THC, cannabinoid. And terpene-rich hemp oil.
I don't have a button to read it.
I think it's tea, or maybe it's lurping. Anyways, hemp oil. Saponin extract. I'm going to have to look that one up. And then this is a, is or can be a bad ingredient. Citric acid. Which is not really vitamin C.
No. Ascorbic acid is vitamin C.
Right. My computer is acting really slow again.
Shame on it.
I got too many windows open. So, yeah, CBD. Get your CBD. And like I said, I'll be selling it here for too long, probably. So, you might be able to find it at Demented. No, I'm just kidding. DavidDavidAndDavid.com. If I...
You're a CBD pusher.
I'm a CBD pusher. Well, actually, I'd be pushing both level, both sides as an equal component, preferably, but, yeah. Low levels of CBD and low levels of THC in its natural state is what I suggest.
Right.
But if you can't find your own ditch weed, then go buy some CBD. And if you're already smoking pot, then you should get some CBD to offset the THC imbalances in your body. Not to mention maybe some of the other chemical crap that's in your marijuana.
Yay. See, chemical crap.
Chemical crap. Chemical crap.
Yeah, somebody might have spiked it with some cocaine on you.
Yeah. So, CBDs are supposed to be good for anxiety and depression, insomnia and sleep disorders, which is pretty much the same thing, arthritis, pain and inflammation, migraines, epilepsy, and other neurological disorders, PTSD, multiple sclerosis, spasms, cancer, of course, diabetes, and much, much more.
Diabetes?
Yeah, what's that?
You can't cure diabetes.
According to the New World Order, you cannot.
Well,
If you subscribe to man's medicine, no, you can't cure anything. Well, You might be able to cure a couple of things, but
you can cure a headache.
Well, right, but you can't cure
over the counter.
You can probably cure a headache, but you can't cure what caused the headache.
Oh, now if you cured what caused it, then you wouldn't be making any money.
Right. And that's why we subscribe to God's medicine. Like my brother used to say about marijuana, I say about all weeds. Weed is a seed that grows in the ground. If God didn't want it, it wouldn't be around.
There you go.
So get out there and eat some weeds.
Eat your Wheaties.
Eat your Wheaties. Eat your Wheaties. Eat your Wheaties. Eat your Wheaties. Eat them up. Yum, yum. Some of them are better than others.
Yay.
Yay.
You know, I can't find any plantain on our land.
What's the matter with you?
I don't know. It's disappointing.
Okay, I'm sharing Prairie Creek Facebook page on our Facebook profiles.
Oh boy.
Boop boop. Kano, Kano Trump, and Ozark David Ray.
Okay, you're going to start singing. I'm going to say goodnight.
So long, farewell, I'm here to say goodbye. Goodbye. All right, you mentioned DungeonsandDragons.com. You'll have to call in and talk with us and sing with us and do all kinds of fun things with us at 563-999-2010. Again, get a pen and paper. And it is 563-999-2010. Extension 256012. Once again, that's 563-999-2010, extension 5. I'm sorry, that's wrong. Extension 256012. And you can catch us here Sunday at 7 p.m. Central in the winter. But daylight savings time is coming up. But we don't do daylight savings time on our podcast. So we will be at 8 p.m. Central after they move the clocks forward.
Yep. The sun won't be in any different position, but, you know, the clocks will be different.
Right.
And my goats will not care what the clock says.
What is the clock?
What's the clock? Can I eat it?
Yeah.
All right. Good night, folks.
Good night.
Enjoy your week.
Yeah. And go eat your Wheaties.
Yeah, eat your weeds. They're better for you than the stuff they sell in the store.
Oh, yeah. What is it? Food paint and flavored cardboard.
Yeah, red number 40. Mm.
Red number 40. Yeah.
If your child isn't violent enough, give them some more red number 40 and they'll be violent.
True that. Well, you know, yeah. Food paint causes all kinds of things, problems like allergies, mood disorders, and I forgot the rest. But those are two big ones.
Memory loss?
Probably, because I had my Gatorade today.
Yeah, that and high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah!
All right. Good night, folks.
Good night.